Hello, this is Pastor Deborah of the Hidden Kingdoms channel on YouTube and of the website www.agapeloveishere.org and also the one who creates the YouTube podcast show called Agape Love, a voice of light in the darkness, and YouTube Shorts at Pastor Deborah on YouTube. I'm here with another wonderful radio show live on Blog Talk Radio with the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, NASCA. I've been asked as a professional to come on and talk about surviving the holidays as an adult survivor of child abuse. The holidays, doesn't matter what religion you are, what time of the season it is, what faith you are, what holidays you may be celebrating. It is the same for every adult, teenager, even child, who has been sexually abused, emotionally abused, verbally abused, neglected, left behind, bullied, and who has not had the anchor of a mother's love, agape, in their life. Here on this live radio show, I'm going to talk about some things from both a mental health perspective, which I used to be a part of that world as a licensed clinical mental health counselor, both at the national level here in the United States of America and sitting on a national committee of Mental Health Counselors Association in the Public Policy and Legislative Committee, the Professional Standards Committee, and the Nominating Committee, and as the District 1 representative in the Panhandle of the State of Florida. I was licensed for about 10 years. I worked in rehabilitation centers, nursing homes, prisons, jails, private practice, doing neuropsychological testing, brain testing, group counseling, group education. I worked with those with disabilities. I had private classes and ministry. Then, after about 10 years, God, who I had believed in since I was 3, asked me to put down my license and learn how to be a pastor and help people His way. So I did. So now I'm a unique individual. I have both licensed clinical mental health counseling degrees, licensure, which I do not hold anymore, and a pastoral. I've been to Bible college, served as a deacon in a church, was on the professional ministry team and the prayer ministry team. And then I went into my own ministry years ago to help people the Lord's way. This live blog talk radio show with NASCA, I'm going to talk about and teach on surviving the holidays. I'm also going to give a chance for those who wish to talk, who called in, even the host, to make some comments. I hope you'll continue to follow the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. They are changing. They're no longer going to be a nonprofit, but a community grassroots. They'll still be doing live shows, maybe on Zoom in the future. The current president is retiring, and a new group of people is rising up to take over the helm of this wonderful international association, trying to help adult survivors tell their story about their abuse, begin the healing process, let them know it's okay from any place in any way of healing, whether it's support groups like 12 steps, mental health counseling privately, maybe through yoga, physical exercise, maybe through other means like faith, religion, prayer, maybe just through writing their books and their stories. So NASCA believes in helping people to tell their story, to be able to speak about their abuse and ways that they have been healed. So here on this radio blog talk show, of December the 3rd, a Tuesday night, I will be talking on surviving the holidays. I hope you enjoy the radio show and the teaching. Love, Pastor Deborah.
Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. It won't again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know just what you have done.
Hello and good evening. Welcome to the NASCA Blog Talk radio show, put up by NASCA, the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse. My name is Victoria Kelly and my co-host is Amy Anna. We are on scan number 3467. I'm excited to introduce our special guest this evening, but before I do that, I'd like to let you know that a little bit about NASCA. We have a single purpose here at NASCA, which is to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional trauma, and neglect. We do so with only two goals. One, educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, or CSA, and presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. Two, offering hope and healing the numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Again, we are on scan number 3487. And if you would like to call in this evening, please call 646-595-2118, and my co-host will meet you on the back line and see if you would like to ask a question or have anything to say. We'd love to have you join us and support our guests. And our special guest this evening is Pastor Deborah. And hold on 1 second. Hello, is this Pastor Deborah?
Yes, it is, Miss Victoria.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing good, staying warm.
Awesome. Okay. So,
and I got a good topic for tonight.
Awesome. I'm just going to read you a little bio here.
Okay, go ahead.
We're having a question and answer call-in discussion with our survivor professional, Pastor Deborah. We use an open mic forum, and we'll feature a survivor professional or co-host who will field topics brought to you, I'm sorry, back to the episode by you, the listener. So tonight's special guest is Pastor Deborah, Schultz, who grew up all over the world in a military family where her mother was mentally ill. Pastor Deborah is now a survivor professional living in Pensacola, Florida. Volunteers with many community organizations. Pastor Deborah says she can minister over her phone, Skype, in person, and however the Lord directs her to, 24/7. Pastor Deborah teaches that humans have three parts, spirit, soul, and the physical body, and she believes that all three are important and that each requires care. We thank Pastor Deborah for being an active member of the NASCA family. On these special episodes, we welcome various co-hosts and survivor professionals and their trauma-informed perspective as survivor professionals. Help them lead discussions on issues of child abuse, trauma, and healing, human sexuality that springs from questions and topics brought to you from our listeners. Everyone's invited to engage in tonight's show. And if people would like, they can visit NASCA.org, which is NAASCA.org. We have a website. We have a Facebook group. And we are currently looking for donations. And we are restructuring NASCA. So it's currently not a nonprofit organization. It is a grassroots organization. And we're restructuring everything except for the website's going to stay the same. And we're just transferring on to a different platform. This will be one of our last episodes of the Blog Talk Radio Show because Blog Talk Radio Show is actually ending. They'll no longer be in business. So we have over 3,467 shows after tonight that are archived, which we're trying to figure out how to get over onto a different place so that people still have access to all of the episodes we've already done. We sure don't want to lose them. So we just are really, really thankful that you come on tonight, Pastor Deborah, kind of short notice, but we can always count on you, and you're glad you're here. So like you said, you've got a topic, so let's get going with the show.
Okay, it's great to be... do you want to introduce the listener?
Let's see if he'll... let me put mine. Hi there, Vinny.
Hi.
Hi,
Vinny. Thanks for coming on the show tonight. This is Pastor Deborah. You've been on the show with her before?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, my topic for tonight is called Surviving the Holidays. Now, I'm a global teacher, and I work with people all over the world. So this, our holiday season, we'll say in America, may not be a holiday season like ours in other countries. But they do have holidays, you know, and they have special event times, and they have very... times when it's very religious and things like that. So it doesn't matter, exactly what's going on. There are, when a child has, or anybody gets abused, our five senses sort of record all the things that's going on. Is it morning, afternoon, the sounds, the smells, the time, the month? Unless you're really just a child that really does not know, you know, anything about months or anything like that. So that's a little different. But surviving any holiday, maybe it's a weekend or it's a certain time of the day, it's real important for a person who's been abused sexually, physically, emotionally, through trauma or abandonment or whatever, to have a plan, to know, whether it comes through a support group, through reading books, through mental health counseling, through pastoral work, that they recognize that for a long time, certain events, maybe a certain time of the day, certain sounds, certain songs, certain smells, will remind them, it's sort of like a trigger that sets off a memory. And the memory will have, you know, you sort of get consciously, you're kind of spaced out, you know, off in a dreamland, and things become real because the memory is connected in the brain to neural, chemical, electrical stimuli, and when that gets flowing through the brain, the memory that is stored in chemical electrical stuff, which has feelings and everything attached to it, which is, you know, I had to learn all this. What happens then you are sort of re-traumatized by an old memory now that you're an adult. But a lot of maybe the feelings are still there. Emotions are still there. The fear is still there. So I wanted to bring up this topic and talk about some of the things that people can do and some of the things that come up when a special holiday or special time in any country, you know, it could be we're honoring some hero or we're having a national holiday or a religious event or something like that, or it just the evening time comes, or, you know, we used to have this one lady I worked with, she would even hear a doorknob turn, and she went into a memory, you know, because things happened. And so that was going to be the topic, and I wanted to see what you guys had to say about it and what kind of things that you practice. You're adults now. You practice for yourself so that, in one, to prevent the memories from coming back up, and two, if they do come back up, what do you do? So, Victoria, do you have anything that you do yourself that might help somebody else, you know, during this time?
Well, I was talking to somebody on the other line, so I didn't hear the whole thing that you were saying, but I heard a little bit that you were talking about when you have, like, flashbacks during the holidays.
What do you do when
I do a lot of grounding things, and one of the grounding things I do is usually I have to get away from the situation, you know, like if something's really bothering me, I get away from the situation.
Okay.
Sometimes it's just walking outside, going to the bathroom or something. But if I walk outside, then what I do is I get in touch with my five senses. And there's different ways to ground yourself. And a lot of times it's just talking myself down, like, what I was thinking about at the time, whatever, you know, because sometimes, like you said, you can't always identify what it is. So I'll just say, whatever was going on happened when I was a little kid. It seemed like I was really scared, and it's not happening now. I have to always remind myself it's not happening now.
Okay,
and that's
good.
Really
that's
important.
Good.
And sometimes it takes a long time for that to sink in. So this can be a long process for people. You know, sometimes I need to just get up and go home out of the situation.
Okay.
I mean, it just depends. And the main thing is, I think, is take care of yourself. But other times what I'll do is I'll just walk around and I'll just look at, like, nature. Sometimes I'll pick up a leaf and I'll just look at the lines in the leaf and I'll just go to gratitude. Like, I'm so grateful that, you know, the Creator created this beautiful thing for me to look at to get away from thinking about awful
That's
stuff.
Good. Okay. Yeah. Vinny, do you do that kind of thing also?
Let's see, I forgot Vinny now.
Is Vinny there? Is he unmuted?
Yeah, let me see if he's... You there, Vinny? Hold on.
That's okay.
I'm having trouble.
That's all right.
I'm not using the mic. So that's fine.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now
I
can.
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah, I learned in DVT about using five senses. There's, you know, there's five things you can see and then four things you can touch, and I forget what the other three things were, but probably using all your five senses. But I get panicky driving, so what I do is I count, like, the light poles or the signs or something, and that takes my mind off of it.
Okay. All right, now let me explain to you what's going on inside your biological brain now, okay? Your thoughts are very powerful, okay? They also, you have a conscious mind that works through your five senses. It sees the telephone poles, it sees the leaf, it hears, okay, it touch. And you have that subconscious that's in your soul. the subconscious is the one that sort of breaks through because it still hasn't quite gotten that healing that it needs.
Right.
And when you have a mindful thought to use your five senses to change your thoughts, you're changing the chemicals, you're bringing balanced, peaceful thoughts into your brain. Okay? And so that's good. That's great. Because some people, you know, until maybe they get to a group or have a sponsor or they get in therapy, they really don't know what to do. Children, teenagers really don't know because, you know, a lot of things happen to them and they don't tell people and they don't seek help, and but they try to deal with it, and sometimes they end up having they'll go into prostitution or high-end call girls because they'll go, hey, this happened. I might as well learn to control it and make some money. People, you know, you'll see them put headsets on to stop the sensory stuff coming in. But it's real important that if you've been abused and you're an adult now, is that you talk with somebody and you get some grounding, as you said, Victoria. You get a plan, knowing that until all of these flashbacks are dissipated, we'll say, and they are let go of, and they are, we'll say, healed, okay, they're going to come up at certain times. You might be out somewhere, and a color, a song, a ticking clock, somebody's perfume or cologne will do it, because it, the perpetrators, you smell him, that cologne. Or you, the music that was playing, or a television show, or something. And so you have to sort of have a plan. Because what's happened is, the trauma produces a lot of memories, a lot of chemicals go off in the brain, and it's all stored. Believe it or not, that's why a lot of us, you know, we can remember back till we were, some of us till we were 2 and 3. The memories are in our biological brain stored in all those neurons. And, you know, they are there in chemical, electrical form. And when something stimulates them, or, something comes in through, like you said, a situation, you're in your five senses, and the situation, sounds, light, touch, whatever, it reminds you of the abuse. And boom, instantaneously, that it's sort of, that memory is sort of released in chemical, neurological, electric signals in your brain. Your biological brain is where it's all happening. And what happens is, until that sort of dissipates, it's like, you know, stepping on the car gas and you're going 60 when you were just doing 20. Until that is sort of dissipated and your other thoughts, like what you do, Victoria, you look at a leaf or something, you bring in more now type of thoughts that counteract that. Because what you dealt with in the abuse is a child was loss, rejection, abandonment, trauma, fear, maybe yeah. some physical things, which was all related to senses. And it's like a permanent in your brain, conscious now. It is a permanent memory. Now, some people, you know, like you talk about World War II vets, some of them saw some bad stuff. Some of them were able to sort of bury that deep and never let it bother them again. Other people couldn't. And you hear about the post-traumatic stress. So having awareness that maybe, you know, hey, I'm still having those happen. They've happened every year at a certain time. And being aware of that, maybe there's some good books or videos or some support groups that you can, you know, connect to that would say, hey, this is kind of a rough time for me. Can I call you? Can, you know, that kind of thing. Or like what you do, you know, you leave situations. Sometimes you have to do that. And you go someplace else, you know, maybe the weather, or you need to get out of the cold because that's where it happened. And then, you know, having a plan, like what you said, to de-stress. Flashbacks are very stressful. Also, when you try to ground yourself and stop that memory and all the stuff that's going on, it causes a lot of stress in your body. Because it's like a battle is going on in your brain. And you're trying to get things that you don't want to think about to remember. You're trying to sort of push them back, stop them. And it's war. And, you know, some people are just quiet thinkers. And you would never know anything that's going on with them. But a lot is going on internally. And then what happens is they end up in the emergency room and they're having, they're sick, they're having medical problems because they're told you're under so much stress. So stress will come and it can do damage to the heart, to all kinds of things, if you don't have that peaceful thing going on. So I'll be quiet and let you speak, Victoria or Vinny or anybody else, what they think about this time of the year and how some other things that they do to help them get through. Okay, well, do any of you guys just ever stop and just cry?
Yeah.
Do you ever just go outside the door and scream at the top of your lungs?
Yeah.
See, that's vision.
Oh, yeah.
That's getting it out of from the inside. Some people get something and pound something, you know, pound a chair or a pillow, that kind of thing,
right.
You know, because it gets so intense. You're trying to release this energy that's there. So it's okay to cry, you know, it's okay to go outside and scream at a tree, or the tree will say, you may not like it, but, you know, they'll tolerate your screaming. But what other people do, that's when they kick the dog, they beat somebody, because it's built up, the stress, the memories happening, and sometimes if they were, now believe it or not, a victim of child abuse doesn't think about that also the perpetrator has these same problems that a victim has. The same time, they have flashbacks. They have memories, you know, of doing it. It builds up in them. So sometimes the perpetrator also has to say, I did some bad stuff. I don't want to do it anymore, you know. And but it's that time of the night, or I just watched a show and I got that urge, and you know, something bad happened at work, and I want to go home and take it out on my family. So I'll let you guys make comments for a while. How about that?
Yeah, I wanted to say too. You know, you mentioned all this, and you said, you know, you get anxious, you get, you know, sometimes people start sweating or start getting fidgety or whatever. And, and if you have repressed memories, you don't know that the reason why you're having these reactions is because you were abused. You know,
that's
because
correct.
A lot
some
of people...
Some do, some don't.
Right, but some people that were verbally abused don't see that as abuse, so they never seek
that's
help.
Correct.
And
that's correct.
You know, and maybe you could talk a little bit about that, about that,
okay.
You know, like, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of times your mental health workers aren't really taught about what abuse is. they recently came out with that, I can't even remember the name, it's been so long, that you're asked 10 questions, trauma-informed test. And if you answer, like, maybe you had a parent die when you were a young child. That's trauma. Your dad died. Your mom died. Okay? Verbal abuse is just as bad as hitting. Now, it beats you down. It traumatizes you. It changes your brain. It's a, you know, verbal, okay, it can be physical. Lack of parenting. Say in some large families, the mother is constantly having babies. And as soon as she has one and, you know, before they're even weaned, she's get pregnant and has to get away from that one. So there's neglect. And they don't get that nurturing, that anchoring from mama. And then she has another one, or she's always busy. Neglect is another trauma. You know, I don't want to be bothered right now. So, yes, verbal abuse. Now, raising your voice. I say not, you know, and I sometimes the culture that you're in, it is okay. That's how you talk to children. That is how you deal with them. In some cultures, if a female is in a room with a man alone and they're not married, the father has a religious right and a legal right in that country to go beat the tar out of their daughter or do honor killings, because there the father's reputation, shame has been brought on him. So there's a lot to study, but what's happening, as a mental health counselor that I used to be, our job is to help you, which, like you said, Victoria, many people, they come in for depression or they come in for anxiety or something else, and they don't even know at that time that they have been sexually abused as a child. And they don't know what's wrong with them. And it takes a very sharp and well-educated counselor to understand that we could be dealing with, you know, trauma from child abuse. In the 70s or 80s, a lot of kids were coming out to therapists and saying, you know, they'd been abused, they're adults now. And the therapist said, you need to sue your parents, you know, for child abuse. So they went to court. Well, a lot of parents rose up and they formed the false memory syndrome and said the mental health counselor planted those thoughts into their child, who's an adult now, or hypnotized them, okay? And this did not happen. She was a problem child, whatever that meant, right?
Right.
And she was always a troublemaker and getting in trouble and stuff like that. But we never abused them. They may not have. It could have been brother. Could have been uncle. Could have been a neighbor. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so they rose up, the parents, and so mental health counselors really backed off in talking about suing the parents. And mental health counseling really is, you know, you don't have long with a person, 50 minutes, and sometimes you don't have a lot of insurance. It's very costly. And they try to get you, like, if you come in and you get diagnosed as depressed, they try to get you on depression medication. But typically, working through a lot of the trauma, some people do get hypnotized, and they think, you know, there's a belief that we can change your thinking and all of this by hypnotizing you, and that'll make it go away. And a lot of people have a lot of different viewpoints about healing, but it doesn't matter what culture you're in. Child abuse happens in religious cultures. It happens in small villages in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, mm-hmm.
It's everywhere, and that's the thing is that there used to be the stereotypical idea of where child abuse happens, and child abuse happens with every it can happen anywhere.
But what I was getting at before was when there isn't, say there isn't sexual abuse, there's emotional.
Physical abuse,
emotional abuse can still cause the kind of trauma that we were talking about earlier. Being triggered, and people are like, oh, it's no big deal. All kids were yelled at, and all kids were this, and all kids were put down and stuff. That's not true. And that's really sad to think that way.
Yeah, one of the great movies to watch on that's The Three Faces of Eve with Joanne Woodward. It's a true story. She played a lady, I think from the South somewhere, that when she was about maybe 3 or 4 years old, just playing under the house, her grandmother had passed away. And their culture and their tradition was, grandma was laying in the house in the coffin, you go and kiss her cheek and kiss grandma goodbye and say goodbye. And you wouldn't mourn, you know, and grieve so much at grandma's loss. It was like your last kiss. Well, the little girl didn't know. They called her in and they hoiled her over the dead body. And she was screaming and screaming. This is in the movie. Screaming and you could see the pain on the mother. But this was their tradition. This is what you did. And the little girl was forced to kiss the dead body. Her name was Eve White at the time. Eve White could not do it. So she split, and Eve Black came up at that nanosecond in a 4-year-old child, okay, to kiss dead grandmother. And then she had an Eve White and an Eve Black, multiple personalities. And is that trauma? Yes. The child's brain and senses, you know, could not handle it. There was not sexual. So you're absolutely correct. There can be, you can just be locked in your room and neglected. You could be... in the basement, lost in you're the black child of the family, you know, you're the one that's going to get tormented,
right?
And other people don't, and there's no sexual, and there can be, it can be from the mother, it can be from the brothers, so, you know, and you're right, it all causes trauma.
Yeah.
Inside
our
brain.
And if you get told a whole bunch of times you're just, you know, you're no good, you're, you know, worthless, you're, you know, nobody thinks anything of you, you'll never amount to anything. I was told that all my life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was, no matter what I did, it was never good enough, it was never right. Whenever I had a reaction to any kind of feeling, you know, my grandparents never hit me. But they never supported me and they never encouraged me to do anything.
Right.
At all. And I was a very, very little child of bullied at school, and I was sad all the time.
Yeah, you see it.
And
now,
I finally got to a psychiatrist at 21 when I escaped from my biological father, who was sexually abusing me. And the doctor said, you've been depressed all your life, you just didn't know it. And he put me on antidepressants, and when they finally kicked in to arrange, it was like night and day. I didn't even know there was
reason
that kind of world out there.
Reason is, during the trauma, words are coming in, or maybe a hand is raised like they're going to slap you, or they do beat you, but there's no sexual.
Mm-hmm.
It's all in the five senses. It is stored. It produces, we'll say, scars, maybe, a memory. And what happens is a child is connected to mama in the womb. The mama's the first teacher. The baby's supposed to go right to the breast. The mother is the anchor of love to the child. Dad is usually gone working, so he's gone all day. Mom gets up, changes his teaches and stuff. When that mother relationship is not loving, it doesn't anchor the soul in love and peace and joy. And if it's treated like you said, like you were, you have thoughts about yourself, and it causes problems, depression. depression is a biological, chemical thing. There's your chemicals in your brain. When you're depressed, they're not balanced. You've got too much of this, not enough of that. Okay, blah, 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 blah. You might have scars on your little neuron things, because what you have in your brain, you know, you have water, electrical, blood, and you have dendrites, which are like a crossroads, and you have roads where the electrical signal's crossing, okay? And things can get scarred. There can be damage, you know, from physical beatings. So all mm-hmm. of this is abuse. And when you even see, Joyce Myers was really good. Her mother knew that she was getting abused and did nothing. That told Joyce, my mother doesn't love me. She will not protect me. And she's a complicit in this abuse. And so a lot happens. When I got into this, God said, those children, people I was working with, hardcore witches and Satanists and people, they need a mama. They need to get almost rebirthed, re-nurtured. They need somebody to love them no matter what they do, no matter what they try to do to you. You have to just hold, because they never had that. And they'll test you and they'll try you. And eventually, the love that I had to be able to give to them, no matter what you do, what you have done, I'm not going to stop loving you. My voice had to be calm. You know, it was all about love, a mama love. Mm-hmm. Now, mental health counselors, they're your therapist, not your mama.
Yeah. Right.
Most of them won't hold you and hug you. They won't talk like a mama to you. You know, they won't say, I adopt everybody. I adopt people on LinkedIn. I say, you're my spiritual child, and I've got your back. I'm your mama.
Well, I had to do self-parenting, because I never had anybody like you in my life. So I had to do self-parenting.
Well,
so what I did is when I got the books and stuff for my kids, because I'm like all of a sudden realized, shit, I never got none of this stuff. You know, I was going to go to parenting class, like my grandma. I said, I'm going to start going to parenting class because I really don't know what I'm doing, you know. And anyway, she goes, why are you going to parenting classes? And I said, because I want to be a better parent. And she said, well, I never went to parenting classes. You turned out just fine. And I thought, fine. I've been how many times in the state psych hospital and all these medications and going to therapy. You know, that's fine to her, but it wasn't fine to me. So I went to parenting classes. And as I learned about how to take care of my children, I learned on how to take care of the inside kids inside of me. The little Victoria that, you know, well, my name used to be Kathy. I had to change my name for my protection. But the little Kathy inside me that was, you know, that wasn't loved, that wasn't cared for, that wasn't hugged, that wasn't, you know, told those things, like you said, like a mama would say. I had to say those things to myself. Not everybody is going to have somebody that can be there like you for them. And there
I think
ways
they try to.
To
yeah. Mm-hmm. I got that thinking when I went into the spiritual pastoral side.
Right.
I didn't get that in mental health. Because in mental health, even though you're abused, now you have depression. That's considered a disease.
Right.
According to the psychiatric society. And
that's
you,
who you become. You become your disease because you focus on these are the things that I am. And people say, like, I'm schizophrenic, or I know a lady that's schizophrenic.
Right.
They're not schizophrenic. They have a diagnosis of schizophrenia. They are not schizophrenic. You know, they are not a
schizophrenic.
And that's
the difference.
They are not bipolar.
That's correct.
They're a mother, a daughter, a sister, an artist, a writer, a nature walker.
But the thing is, mental health counseling treats everything as a disease.
Yeah.
And they really have just a short period of time, and their main goal is always to get you on medication.
Yeah.
And if they say you can't handle it, just go to the psychiatric, you know, the emergency room. When I and that's how I was trained. Okay.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know about multiple personalities, little Kathy's in there, until I started watching movies, reading true stories. When I started getting into the pastoral type work, and God gave me multi-generational Satanists and witches and hardcore, heavy-duty, dark stuff, I discovered that was purposely done when they were children, was to split them and to get them so traumatized through drugs and sexual abuse and physical and verbal. So they were like, and then they would program them into whatever the many different programs people that they wanted them to be. I worked with some people that thought they were just flames of fire. They had no body. But they did. But that's what they believed on the inside. Some believed, you know, as you know, when you get into working with LGBT, you have a male body, but they believe they are a female.
Yeah,
and
I
have
male
female,
non-binary parts. I had phased, and I had all different parts. I had 31 personalities.
So
because I understand that completely.
Well, when I got into this, I was running into people with many personalities. And I go, this wasn't taught at master's level, and very few PhD people, okay, get into this. And I'm going, what is, now this is the pastoral side. God, what is going on? He said, I am a multiple. I am whatever I need to be. I might need to be a father, a mother, a judge, a lawyer, a king, a warrior.
Right.
I might need to be what I, and he said, I gave this gift of multiplicity to my, to humanity, knowing they were going to be abused. It's my gift for their, so they don't die. The heart doesn't stop like that little girl when she had to kiss her dead grandmother. Normally, it would be so traumatic, the heart would stop and you would die. Or child abuse. But God gave a way. One, you can split into the mind is capable, the subconscious is capable of creating another person to that doesn't get abused. That's how you get sort of saved and you don't get it. And one gets abused.
Yeah.
And you leave your body. The spirit leaves the body. And I didn't know that in mental health counseling. So what happens is during holiday times here in America and around most of the world, but some countries don't celebrate, you know, the holidays like Christians do. They might, the Jewish people might have different holidays. Islamic people have different holidays. And other people have different holidays. So if the event happened during a holiday season or celebration time, it is very difficult. And so, but most people, believe it or not, they never go to therapy. It's very expensive. They don't have the time. Taking medicine for some cultures is a no-no. You just live with your brokenness. You know, you live and you don't really know, and you just have a miserable life, but you don't really know it, but you do. You might go through multiple marriages, divorces, and, you know, just kind of fly off the handle, or you might get into bondage or something like, say, drinking or sports or something, and you, because you're trying to change brain chemistry, trying to get that old dopamine going and the good stuff going. And if that doesn't work, some people go to the heroin route to deal with it, you know, because it gives you peace. And some people want happiness, so they might go to another type of drug, you know, or they might go to ball games or to all kinds of stuff because they're trying to counteract what's happening on the inside. And I'll be quiet and let you and Vinny, or if there's somebody else, make some comments.
Benny, would you like to make a comment?
No, I'm good. I'm just listening away.
Listening away. It just seems like it's fitting that is anything fitting?
Benny is a good listener. He's a very good listener. I know Benny
yes.
because he's wanting
you.
To learn. Benny's wanting yep. to learn. It's like Philip. He wants to learn. And Philip calls me quite frequently when he's having issues. And
that's awesome.
We do some ministry. And what
can I tell you something amazing, Pastor
sure.
Deborah? Our daughter, Benny's my former husband, okay?
Okay.
Benny and I's daughter just got 19 years off crystal meth and alcohol.
Yep.
Yesterday.
Got off of it?
I mean,
got off
Sunday.
Of it?
70. Yeah, uh-huh. Sunday she got 19 years that she hasn't used.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That was her
wonderful.
19th year anniversary on Sunday.
Yeah,
okay.
She went to AA.
Okay. Yeah, AA is, believe it or not, I don't know how it is nowadays, but AA started with, you're going to pray to a higher power named Jesus Christ. And you got to turn it all over to him, and you got to forgive everybody. And it's changed over the years, I think, to go to whatever higher power, you know, you believe in now. Because there's so many people worldwide, which is okay, because even though Allah, right, that name just means God.
Mm-hmm.
And you can talk, because they believe in a God. Okay.
Right.
I used to
use God as good orderly direction.
That's okay, too. Because what happens is most abused people have tried. Now, they don't know that the God of creation has given them multiple personalities or split personalities. You survived it. Nope, you don't go, well, how did I live this? Why didn't I die? Some do, you know, but they don't. And a lot of people don't understand. And when I asked God about it, he said, I'm a multiple. So I gave this gift to humanity, knowing that there was going to be abuse and trauma. And what slowly happens, like you'll see this in the Three Faces of Eve movie. You had Eve White, who was the original personality of the little girl who couldn't kiss her dead grandmother. Trauma, major trauma. You see her scream. And Eve Black got created, who was tough cookie. And Eve Black went on to drink and dance. And Eve White was the mealy mouth housewife and just stuff. And Eve Black would go out drinking and come back and disappear. And Eve White would have the hangover. Eve Black knew about Eve White, but Eve White did not know about Eve Black. Okay, this is all in one body. And Eve Black, what slowly happened was Eve White and Eve Black wanted healing. So they stayed with a psychiatrist. They turned their daughter over to her parents. She divorced her husband, which wasn't very good. And she stayed, she worked, she changed, and another personality started coming up named Jane. And she was working, and she dressed differently. So now we got Eve White, kind of a mealy mouse housewife. Eve Black, a power. She go out dancing and drinking with the boys and having sex and everything. And this very refined business type woman, Jane, all in one body. Well, Jane met a man and she said, I can't marry you because I've got some mental health problems. And he said, that doesn't matter. I love you. We will go through it together. There's the love. And he stayed with her and he reassured her his love was solid. And what happened was in the office of the psychiatrist, one day, Eve White came in her body and said, I think I'm dying. I'm just tired. I need to go and rest, and so I'm going to go. She blinked her eyes and was gone. Eve Black gave her best party dancing dress to the psychiatrist and said she was going to And she was really glad that Jane was going to be the one who was going to take over the body. This true
right.
story.
Yeah.
Excellent. And afterwards, when Eve Black just blinked her eyes, she was gone. These parts
yeah.
that had been there for 20, 30 years. And Jane
yeah.
came out and said, you know, Mama didn't mean to do it. You know, it was our custom to kiss your grandmother. She finally had the memories of her childhood, elementary education and everything. Everything was restored.
Mm-hmm.
She probably became the person she was supposed mm-hmm. to be, but she didn't get a chance to. But it took the love of a psychiatrist,
mm-hmm.
took the love of a man to anchor her in safety and to help her walk through this for you. A true story. And you can see some of her
mm-hmm.
stuff on even YouTube. And I used to
mm-hmm.
watch these things, and I'd read true stories. Now, in
yeah.
Satanism and witchcraft and some other stuff, they actually purposely abuse the people. And they do this, you can see this, I think we saw it in the Bourne Syndrome, I think. There was something, Bourne Identity, Jason Bourne, where he wanted to help people and they started drowning him to make him an assassin or a spy. There's a lot of stuff the military and CIA and other people do. A lot of hospitals
yeah.
and stuff that have done tests with multiple yeah. personalities, DID, to create soldiers, to create,
yeah.
see how... There is a true story about during Vietnam. They wanted some soldiers to be able to stare at the enemy and kill them. So they practiced giving them LSD. And
mm-hmm.
they would go out and stare at goats trying to kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the military's been in... Believe me, when I started studying this and you start studying CIA and stuff like that, there's a lot that goes on to produce. Another great one, movie to watch, is Frank Sinatra with the Manchurian Candidate. And it was about how during, there was a lady who was a wife of a politician in America, sort of communist leaning, and she needed an assassin, somebody that she could control. So her son and some people were over in South Korea or something, fighting during the Korean War. And they got captured, and they took them, and they abused them. And, you know, when you get to a certain state, you're then sort of like just hypnotized. And they picked her son, and they said, here is your trigger, the Queen of Diamonds. Anytime you see that, the next phrase you hear, you will obey. And they would show him, and he said, go kill this person. Well, he'd just go kill it. And then he'd wake up, and he'd have no memory of it, that he even did it. That is how powerful the mind is. The conscious
mm-hmm.
mind, the subconscious mind, trauma can do that, hypnotic stuff. And they learned this a long time ago, you know.
Yep.
And so...
You know, my mom was married to my dad. My dad beat her unconscious all the time. And
okay.
that was the
way
it worked. And she had three children. And she really did not want to be a mom. And she was drinking a lot. And she said that my dad was always abusive. Even before she got married, he beat her. I mean, he abused her. And I don't know if it beat, but abused for sure. But she married him. And I have a feeling it might have been because she's pregnant. But then he didn't really want her to be pregnant, so he beat her so bad that he almost aborted my brother. And anyway, she said that, you know, he always felt like his wife and his children's property. Well, they were really, because legally, whatever. But anyway, there were no battered women's shelters for her to go to or anything. You know, she told me this.
That's correct. Back then, there
was. But anyway, the point I was trying to get to is that she said that he didn't get really weird till he went into the military and learned how to hypnotize
yeah.
her and how to do other kinds of torture
right.
kind of stuff. Because he learned that in the military.
Yeah, yeah. Where you
and he
first
used
begin it, in the military is you come in as a civilian, and you got a different set of values and doing things and dressing. And the drill sergeants, they got to shape you up into having one collective mind, thinking the same way, acting as a unit instead of individuals. And it's also done in football. There's a
When he went in there, he was already deviant because he had robbed. Mm-hmm. He had robbed his store. They gave him a choice of going to the military.
They used to do that.
They gave him a choice of going to the military or not. I talked to his brother later on. His brother said he tortured him all the time. He said, not sexually, but he tortured him all the time. He said he went back to him as an adult and confronted him, and all he did was laugh about it, you know?
Yeah. God always had to have me read true stories about people, history. Watch a lot of movies. God shows you. He'll show you stuff all over the place. You know, I was talking to somebody, and if you watch Star Wars, and Darth Vader, he was a little boy with his mama, and he had these special whatever you had, those things in you, that made you a Jedi. Well, he got taken away from his mama to go get training, but he didn't want to leave his mama. He didn't have a father. And he was he knew he was special, but he was always kept down. And then he was afraid something was going to happen. So you can have talents and skills, but in some cultures, the man is the boss and he can do anything he wants. You are his property. Kids have no rights, neither do women. And, you know, you don't work, and this is how I was brought up, and this is what you're going to do. And who's going to stop me, and who's going to tell on me? What are the police going to do? And that's how it was for a long, long time. Now, NASCA was so instrumental years ago, you know, in just getting people to talk about the subject matter. And for years, I don't know if you understood, there was no laws in America about parents and child abuse. So when the first case ever came up with, the lawyers had to go and use the animal cruelty law that you can't beat animals.
What's interesting about that story, that's the Mary Ellen Wilson story. What's interesting about that story is the missionary that found the girl, she got the report, and she went, and she finally got a way to get in there and stuff, and found the girl. She ended up going home and saying, I don't know what to do about this little girl. And her niece is the one that said, well, isn't there laws to protect animals? Which gave the missionary idea to go to the Humane Society. And the Humane Society guy, there's an excellent video, and there's like a bunch of them now, but the first one that was ever put out was put out by a young girl called the Mary Ellen. It's called The Woman Who Cared. Look up The Woman Who Cared on YouTube. And it's the most, I don't care, I watched all the other ones, and none of them is as impactful as a high school student doing it for a class project. And her talking about it, you know what I mean? It's different than the ones that are on there that are like the real descriptive and all that, you know. But this high school student is talking about this little girl who was beat so bad and everything. But, you know, they never mentioned that girl's name, that little, niece.
The thing is, what was so important was there were laws that you can't beat animals and mules and horses, but nothing for children. And the reason was that men were the business owners, and they were the politicians, and their philosophy from their culture and religion, Christianity was the same way, Catholicism, that the man was the boss, the king. The woman had no right. Remember, they didn't vote. And the children had no, you were his property, and he had the legal right to do whatever he wanted to with the property, and there wasn't anything illegal about it. Now, in many cultures, even now, that philosophy still goes. The man rules.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the woman has no rights. And it's in all cultures, all nations, it's still there. Mm-hmm. And even in gangs, it's still there. Mm-hmm. And
it's still in the United States society,
yes,
as well. You know, I mean, yes, it wasn't until the 60s that women could even own property. So even if my mom would have left my dad with her three kids, she couldn't have owned property.
Right. Right.
You know,
and so,
my mom had no education. Not only mm-hmm. that, my dad would not work. And so she always said, I became a stripper. I chose to do that. But without even taking a breath, says, my husband wouldn't work and I had three children to feed.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, when she put us on that train to Minnesota, we were 1, 2.5, 3.5. She said, I put you on the train because I felt that you were in danger.
Yeah. And so it's taken a long time. Men have a hard time. You know, they have a lot of, you know, they have bigger bones and muscles. And they have a lot of tension and there's stress at work. You know, they go to battle at work. And a lot of them, as you know, they have had abusive childhoods
mm-hmm.
themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They've been bullied. They were bullied,
yep,
you know, as kids.
Yep.
Maybe they were small or fat or something.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep,
they had, they're trying to have peace within themselves. Mm-hmm. And they're also trying to live up to the family culture and society's culture.
Yeah, those
so,
are all excuses.
Well, it's the thing
those
is,
are
you
excuses.
Know,
I'm a lot stronger than a lot of men. I had a lot more stress than a lot of men have that beat up their wives and their children and their dogs and their cats and their anybody that comes in their way.
Well, it's like
so,
they have this, well, what it is, they have this tension, this stuff going on inside of them that they don't know how to release. So when they abuse and stuff. Now, sexual abuse, okay, it takes in lust, it takes in desires, it takes in I'm big, you're small, this is what happened to me, I'm supposed to do this to you. Now, in the spiritual world, okay, I have to look at all that, and I have to go,
it's all about power and control. It's about power and control, and the more power and control they exert, the more they feel good about controlling somebody else. There's people that do things to somebody and they go back and they say, they go home and they can't sleep at night because it bothers them so much. Like me, it bothers me if I hurt somebody's feelings. It bothers me. Okay. So
I've been through
a lot of just exactly what you said that some men have gone through, but you know what?
Right.
I have made choices not to hurt other people. And so to me, it's an excuse of everything you've done.
Well, the thing is, like you said, most women, they have no clue what their family, their husband's or boyfriend's childhood was like, what their culture was like, what controls them, who they're supposed to live up to. Sometimes it's, hey, this is just what we do. And you aren't going to bring shame to the us and
mm-hmm.
stuff and what's done behind the closed
mm-hmm.
doors. That, so it's it gets down to what I had to work with in the mental health world. Was you had one person come in and, you know, you had to, like I had a child come in referred by a school. And he was telling me about his parents and stuff. And I said, well, it sounds
mm-hmm.
like your parents need to take a parenting class, you know, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I used to teach those to court-ordered people who abuse their kids. They don't know the child development. They don't know the child's
mm-hmm.
emotional needs. They don't
mm-hmm.
know how to talk. They don't know how to resolve, you know, control issues. I used to
mm-hmm.
teach folks that. So I had this one young boy who's precious and stuff, and then his parents took me into court to give a deposition. They wanted to know what did I write down in my notes, because they were afraid, you know, I had said some things, and basically I had to give
were.
A But I basically said that I recommended that the parents take parenting and learn how to be better parents. You know, it wasn't anything accusing them of any kind of abuse or anything. But a lot of it's lack of education. And then you have even in the churches and Christianity, male dominance. They don't let women come in, you know, and they are women are just to be submissive. And then in other religions, it's the same thing. And I really feel sorry, believe it or not, I really feel sorry for the man, because he is taught to be in the power position, and he has all power, and he is to teach, and you're to have all control of all your children and your wives and blah, blah, blah. And he's a lot of times through culture, tradition, religion, experience, he's just watched and says, that's how you're supposed to live. And yet at the same time, as you know, they want to have a family. They want to be loved, but they don't know how to love. And they don't know
but
about
parents. But I
raised
a son that isn't like that. I raised a son that isn't like that. So
no, you're a female.
You know.
You're a female. And you have females, they look at children differently than a man.
But my husband and I raised a son. Vinny and I raised a son that is not like that.
And
he went into a foster home with a family with a loving father and a loving mother that did not have the power and control dynamics that raised that would produce a child that had to behave that way.
It's very interesting because in the juvenile court system, the judges in the state believe, even though the parents have abused them, we believe the best thing for the child is with the parents or an aunt or an uncle or somebody. But nobody knows, nobody takes any, the aunt who's in another state or a grandma, she doesn't have to take parenting classes.
Right.
She doesn't have to know about child abuse and trauma. She's just grandma. She's auntie. Okay, and it's just family, and that's how the courts, because they really don't want to deal, and they don't want to get there with culture, religion, tradition.
Yeah,
they don't want to, you know. And most of the people for years, Victoria, were men, were the judges, the lawyers. They don't want to point the finger.
And they put
that they have
back in the family, and they actually put in the court documents, even though the child was sexually abused or horribly abused. They put in the document, the child was returned for the good of the father. They actually put that in the court document.
Yeah, yeah. Because really the court, when I was a victim advocate for children, I was the eyes and ears for the judge, and I sat in on family court. And the parents, here's what happens. The parents become possessive over the child. That's my blood, my sperm, give it, that's my property.
No.
I have a right to that, and nobody should be able to tell me what to do with my property, my child, not even my wife, because I, the man, okay, it's my sperm. If it's a, you know, I'm the one, okay, making the money. So
also raised by my grandfather, and my grandfather was a peacemaker, and he loved anybody. He didn't care what color skin they were, what kind of income they had, or anything. He just loved everybody. My grandma was the one that controlled the house, and she beat my brothers because she didn't like boys.
If you went back in grandma's childhood,
my grandmother was sexually abused by boys, and I didn't know that until later on either.
Yeah, and you don't. You just get born into the family, and you have no clue.
Yeah.
So what I had to learn to do was...
But she raised me since I was a year old, and she kept my one brother, and said her daughter ended up in an abusive relationship, and she divorced, and my other brother came to live with me. And then she had two boys that she didn't like, hated, you could say. And then all of a sudden, she just sent them away to live with my mom. And my mom married a man who ended up sexually abusing both my brothers from the time they were 12 and 13 all the way up until they beat the shit out of them.
Okay, well, here's the thing, Victoria. In helping people to heal from all of that mess, I went from to learn how to love them all. Mm-hmm. And I had to understand everything. And I had to look back through generations. Mm-hmm. And I had to look back through traditions. And I had to look back through that sometimes there's a curse on the family. And it's just passing through. And this is what this is what we do. And you can't change. And they're just the product of all of this stuff. They can't change it. They just got born into it.
The cycle. We can break the cycle, and that's what
Well, here's the thing. When I was in working in the pastoral work, I would always ask somebody, do you want to get healed? You know, God wants to heal you. His way may be, some people are afraid of healing because they don't know what a life would be without the trauma, the multiple personalities. They know the system, of all their multiples and the trauma and how to get along. They don't like it, but they don't know the rules and how to be and how all their friends and family, if they're the only
one. That's
ones,
where you do the free parenting, where you do the teaching. You know, you go and you get the support that you need to be a better person. You find role models that I had to find role models. I got a sponsor that was an older
person,
a very motherly person, was a very spiritual person, was a very person to everybody.
And that's what I had to learn. Well, see, that was the difference between mental health counseling. That mental health counselor isn't going to adopt you spiritually and say, you can call me 24/7.
Right. Okay. And I got more from
my sponsor
than, you know, a lot of my, a lot of
a sponsor in AA and, sponsor in a lot of those groups are like that. Okay. They know what it takes to get, help you get through it. But a lot of people are.
Because they're all human too.
Well, a lot of people are afraid of healing because I'll be different. I won't fit in. I don't know the rules of this life. I know how to act in the other life, but I don't know if I'll be hurt again. And so some people are afraid of getting healed. But
or they don't
always
have the right
knew. It didn't matter. I knew that first I had to always ask them, do you want to be healed? Do you want to? Okay. Because I needed their free will, whoever I was talking to. And sometimes I would say to them, why don't you have a family meeting? See, I knew they had multiple personalities. I said, I want you to talk with all your brothers and sisters and your whoever's in there. Everybody have a family meeting. Because everybody's got to agree that they want to be healed. So I used to do that. Okay? And the reason was you need their free will, and you need everybody in the family that's inside cooperating. Okay? And so I would do that with every person. Say, do you want healing? And sometimes I'd get a head nod. Sometimes it would be just a quiet little yes. Sometimes they would squeeze my hand. That's all they could do.
Right.
And I said, okay. But once they said that, then they had set their free will to it. And then what I would do is I would say, I want to adopt you, and I want you to be my spiritual child. And that would re-anchor them in love. And they go, well, don't you know what I've done? Yes. Don't you know who I've hurt and who I've killed? Yes. But I love you anyway. And my voice had to be calm and loving on the phone and text and emails in person. And I had to, it was different. And from the Bible, I learned that God's love is the anchor of our soul. So what happened was what was supposed to get anchored, your soul. And if you ever watch a child, when he's just learning to walk, he'll hang out and mama's sitting at the sofa and a stranger comes in, or he'll run a little way from mama and then come back. He ventures out a little bit and then comes back. Mama's the security. Mama's the love, the teacher, the nurturer, the feeder. It's supposed to be. Dad's supposed to go to work, make the money. He's in the lion's pit. He's fighting dragons. He's making the money. He's gone all day. His hands are rougher. He's fighting different battles.
My dad was home all day sexually abusing me until I was a year old. So I don't know.
Okay.
Mom, you know, yeah.
Well, I'm just telling you how it's supposed to be. So mom was supposed to, you know, and what happened is that didn't happen in most people's lives. So I have to come back in, not as a counselor, okay, not as a sponsor, not as a therapist, but a mama who's a teacher, because the teacher, the mother, is the first teacher. We teach them, oh, look at those toes, T-O-E-S. Oh, look at that belly button. You know, we were the ones who did the talking, looked at the mothers did, the female. Now, the men, you know, they were off at work, and they weren't supposed to. And they didn't, most children didn't get that. And it took love that's more powerful that would stick with people no matter what, to help them get healed. And it was a slow process, and but what happens is it's all over the world. It's not, you know, it's been going on probably since kids were being born. You know, they were being sacrificed to idols and gods and stuff like that, and being abused and orphaned and all kinds of things, and bullying and that kind of thing. And so it's not anything new, but I think NASCA's done a great job. Like Bill and I have talked how they have helped to break down that taboo of even talking about it.
Right.
And they've provided so much education on the website, you know, and through the blog talk show. And
so important. You know, I mean, just people communicating with each other. There's just, you know, to me, it's, I'd rather look at our commonalities rather than our differences.
Yep.
And
I told Bill,
anyway,
I just wanted to bring up to you that
Amy Anna, my co-host that's on tonight with me, she hasn't been talking.
Mm-hmm.
She's been doing some other projects. But anyway, her and I have a grassroots organization called Oz, a Helping Hand for Healing Souls. And NASCA is partnering with us. And in April, we're putting on an event, which Amy Anna and I have done the last 3 years. And NASCA's been a part of it, but this year they're partnering with us, and we've been putting it on in-person and Zoom event every year for April Child Abuse Awareness Month and October Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Yeah, that's right. April is that.
Yeah. So we've done the two, which are really cool because they're 6 months apart. And since Amy Anna just came out to Minnesota, now we can start earlier. Normally we start at the end of March, and we're working out of my pocket. Because I usually save like $10 a month so I can afford to do an event every 6 months. That's about all I could afford when I was only getting $4
a
month. You know, but anyway, I would always do it on a shoestring. And this year, we're actually organizing. We just got back from a meeting that we had at an ice cream shop. And ice cream guys can sell ice cream at our event and give us 40% of the profits that he makes for selling. And,
that's wonderful.
Or 40% of the 40% of whatever he sells, not of the profits, of what he sells, and at the event. And then we've got speakers, like we've had speakers from all over the world for the last 3 years, in April and October. I had an in-person event and a Zoom event that we've done, all-day events.
Okay.
And we're doing it again this April, and we've got a clothesline project with clothing written on by adult survivors of child abuse. And it's basically them, you know, expressing either how they felt when they were abused as a child or what they would like to see, you know, what they believe that healthy, being parented healthy would be, you know, because a lot of them are parents now themselves and they have,
yeah, well,
you
know what you can do, something you can add to that, Victoria, is encourage everybody to take a parenting class, learn about child development. And because when you are, say, the speaker, Okay. I had to take child development in my master's level counseling.
Right.
But it's different when you teach parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Parenting classes teach. So parents, if you can get some books on parenting classes that your community offers, so people can, or books that they can buy.
Well, what we've been doing is getting together resources from all different organizations and services in whatever area we're doing the events in, and from international and national organizations, and putting them out. And we've had Missing Children Minnesota, which does three different age group presentations, plus a presentation to the parents to explain to them about the presentations they do with their children. They have to get permission from the parents to do the thing. The younger one is a puppet show. One is called Beyond Stranger Danger. She's got a whole day full of stuff for kids. So we're going to have a special kids section, special adult section.
Okay. That sounds great. But I would like to, you know, parents, even grandparents and foster parents. Even down here in Florida, you know, we have a lot of foster parents.
Yeah.
They check their background and stuff, but they don't require any of them to have any kind of parenting class before they become a certified parent. They don't. Most people have no clue about child development.
My daughter just became a foster parent. And she had to go through 3 years before she could become a foster parent. And today, here's a crying moment. Today, she just picked up three new foster kids, two boys and a girl, siblings. And it's bringing them home today. And she's got one other
foster home already. It's never going to stop. But the thing is, even foster parents, believe it or not, they are relying on parenting skills that they were taught either in church or from their parents or grandparents. And there are some just basic, there's some great books, parenting, and people don't know about child development at 1 year old and about the mother's, they don't know. And because I taught this to a parent who abused their kids, I was immersed in parenting. And that is, believe it or not, those are the first, those are the groomers for children into drugs, alcohol, trafficking, everything. The parents. Even if it's just a single parent, And some single parents are great, others aren't, And what happens is, even in gangs, when people get into gangs, they form a family. And people don't realize that children want families. They want brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas. They want that relationship.
They want to belong.
It's a connection, a bonding to family. And a lot of people don't understand that. The judges don't. And they don't want to make it. I didn't get it. I'm sure you didn't in high school. We had some form of sex education, but no parenting classes. I knew girls in the sixth grade who were having sex and got pregnant. Do you think they know how to be a mama? Nothing about breastfeeding, diaper changing in high school. No parenting classes for the boys. Nothing. So everybody is going into parenting from their own family and how they got parented or what they saw. And that's all they had. Or what they see on TV. And but this time of the year, you know, it's hard for people, I think, all over the world, you know, that kind of thing. Does Vinny have any last questions before we get ready to wrap up? Or?
Vinny?
I'm good. I
think
you're okay, I heard
you. I hope to hear you again.
Yeah, we were talking about... Victoria was telling me today that Blog Talk is ending out here in a couple months and you guys are going to do something else. So I told Bill I'll be there. I'm not going anywhere.
Have you got a website?
Huh?
Have you got a website?
Yeah.
Yeah, would you like to share your information in case people want to get a hold of you?
My website, it's www.agapeloveishere.org. It's not
like
your normal...
Oh, that's right, Agape Love.
Yeah,
I
have a YouTube, A-G-A-P-E, it's Greek. It's not
A-G-A-P-E.
Human love. A-G-A-P-E.
.org.
It's Greek.
Oh, love.org.
Yeah, but better, that has a lot of videos and articles. It's not your normal website. It's got a lot of music on it and education. I also have a YouTube channel called The Hidden Kingdoms, which has a lot of videos. A YouTube podcast, which is also on YouTube Music. And that is teaching, 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 teaching. I'm a mama is a teacher. And I'm just teaching. I teach a lot. I have some videos about mental health and the forever person and about spiritual things and all kinds of stuff. I'm a teacher. Mamas
and what
are
was,
supposed
what was that website or what was that YouTube channel?
The Hidden Kingdoms.
What was it called?
The Hidden Kingdoms.
Hidden Kingdom.
With an S.
All right.
There's over 1,000 videos on there. I don't have a lot of subscribers, but that doesn't bother me. And then you'll see a podcast, which is different, and that's on YouTube Music, and that one's called Agape Love, A Voice of Light. A Voice
mm-hmm.
of Light in the Darkness. Then I got YouTube Shorts, which are like 60 seconds. YouTube at Pastor Deborah. And what happens is people don't realize there's an internal world inside of us. And then there's a world of our five senses. And then there's the spiritual part of us. And I can work in all of them. But people need education like what Victoria's doing, you know, in April. People need education. And
yep.
that's what NASCAR been so good at over the years with so many different articles and people and guest people because people are lacking education and they don't
yeah.
have it.
Well,
and that's what you
to,
guys
are. They're missing being open-minded.
Well, first you have to get the education and then
they
start thinking about, maybe what I've been believing is not right. And this book or this person who talked or this speaker is right. And now I have to start questioning what they've been believing in, okay? And it takes a while sometimes for the lies that they've been believing or their culture or tradition to die. You take it away, Victoria.
Okay. I just want to quickly say the serenity prayer for NASCA, which is please grant me the serenity to stop beating myself up perfectly, the courage to forgive myself because I always try my best, and the wisdom to know that I'm a good person with a kind heart. I also want to say we're starting a newsletter, and we're going to be hopefully coming out in January. So we are so thankful for Pastor Deborah, for our calling guests. And we hope to see you all soon. And we will be letting you know as soon as we find out what platform we'll be on for our new podcast. Please keep coming back. And God bless us. God bless the children. God bless all adult survivors of child abuse. Thank you.
Thank
Good night,
you.
Y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor. She may have hung up. Good night.
Okay. Good night.
In ending this show with NASCA on the Blog Talk Radio Show, I hope you will continue to learn and be healed. I'm always here to be your spiritual mother, your guide and teacher. Please come back to the NASCA website of www.nasca.org and check out the new shows that will be coming on in other areas. Might be through Zoom, and you can participate by listening or having your face shown or not shown. But this is Pastor Deborah. Hope you continue to follow me on the Hidden Kingdom channel, on the YouTube podcast of Agape Love, A Voice of Light in the Darkness, on YouTube Shorts at Pastor Deborah, also at the Children's Channel for children of all ages. I'm also on LinkedIn and X. I usually just post the videos that I have made. You continue to learn, be educated, and be healed. Love always, Pastor Deborah.